The Accordion Line Podcast, number one.
Hello, and welcome to the first Accordion Line Podcast. I'm Elwood Bergman, and today we're going to be talking about Oktoberfest. We're going to be talking about Polka, and we're going to be talking to Jerry Romanowicz of the Rymanowski Brothers Orchestra. Now, first, let's give you a little bit of background about Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest started in 1810 when the Crown Prince Ludwig got married to Teresa. That was October 12th, and then for 6 days, they had this great big party. There was music, there was dancing, there was beer, and there was a horse race at the end of it all. After this great party, everyone said, you know, let's do this again next year. That was a great idea. And so they've done it since, with 24 exceptions. Those exceptions were because of, you know, little things like cholera, world wars, and inflation. They'd done it since, but they decided to move it up a little bit into September. So it's the days up until the first Sunday in October. And they did this because Munich, or Bavaria, is up in the German Alps. It's very high up. And it gets cold a lot earlier in the year. So in October, a lot of years, the weather would be pretty lousy. They decided Oktoberfest could be in September. Why not? They also stopped doing the horse races in 1960. They just weren't as popular. But they still have the agricultural fair, which I understand is a lot more interesting than it sounds. And that started only the year after the first Oktoberfest in 1811. And this 205-year-old tradition was changed once again in 1994 when they made sure that it lasted at least until October 3rd in order to celebrate German reunification, because that was a great idea. So it's a holiday that's not too strict about its origins, like most holidays are, really. And you can just relax and have some fun. Drink some beer, enjoy some polka music. Now, some of you might say, polka music? Well, that's Polish, isn't it? It's a form of oompa music. It's not volkstümlich, I think that's how you say it. I'm not really sure. But it's very, very similar. So today we're going to be talking to Jerry Romanowicz of the Rymanowski Brothers Orchestra, which is out of Amsterdam, New York, near where I live. One word of caution, though, before I get started to parents, there will be a section where we mention a few Polish curse words, and although this is, at worst, PG-13 in English, if you don't want your kids to learn how to curse in Polish, cut it off when you start to hear that. I'll put it at the end of the show, so that you won't be missing anything if you shut it off then. So that said, now, without further ado, I bring you Jerry
Romanowicz. That's the English version, or the Polish version is Romanowicz.
Romanowicz.
There you go.
Now, you've been with the Rymanowski brothers since 1999, right?
Right, 16 years.
Yeah. Do you know if they've been around for a while, right?
The band, I think, was formed in 1947. It was started by their father. The two brothers now are the drummer and the bass player, Jerry and Dennis. And their father started the band in 1947 with his brother Al, clarinet player. So yeah. It was accordion and a clarinet player. And back then it was a big band. It was about 9 pieces.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was like 12 years before you were born, right?
Yeah, I was born in 59, so yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So did you ever see them play when you were growing up?
Yeah, I remember a couple of times seeing them at church festivals. Yeah. Never figured I'd end up playing with them.
No. You know, they're one of the oldest bands in existence,
yeah.
Right? That's still continually playing.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything. Do you know who else is up there in the rankings?
Locally?
Or I mean, just, you know. I can't think of...
Well, nationally, Jimmy Sturr's been around probably since the 60s, mid-60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
Trying to think, Eddie Blazonczyk, he passed away. Happy Louie's retired. He started in the late 50s, early 60s.
So you could possibly be playing in the oldest polka band in the world.
Could be, yeah.
That's a pretty cool distinction.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's see. And before this, you were in the Checkmates, the Polka Rascals.
Yep.
And Don Nikolsky?
Donnie Nikolsky, yep.
Nikolsky.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And the New Yorkers.
Yeah, that was a short stint. That only lasted 2 or 3 years.
Okay. I couldn't find much on any of these bands.
Yeah.
It's polka bands are kind of elusive on the internet. And when did you start playing the accordion?
Well, I started twice, which is funny.
Yeah.
I had a cousin, an older cousin, when I was about 5 years old. He was getting into his teens, and he was taking accordion lessons. And he was quite good. And I was amazed by the instrument just to watch him, you know, a little kid, and the instrument was so big and, you know, the right hand going, the left hand going. And my parents bought me a little 12-bass accordion, and I started playing by ear, and I thought, well, we better get him some lessons. So they took me to the neighborhood accordion teacher, who was a guy, well, I won't mention his name, but he was Italian.
Yeah.
And he ran a catering service. So while I was taking accordion lessons, which was in the kitchen, his wife would be cooking trays of pasta and getting ready for a catering job.
Yeah.
And I was paying more attention to what was going on around me. I was 5 years old. So like after 2-3 months of that, the teacher told my father, he says, I don't think this kid's got it. You better take him home. So we called it quits, but I kept playing. I kept playing the 12 bass. And when I was 11 years old, somebody recommended a Polish guy in Schenectady, Eddie Gerzinski, ran an accordion studio.
Yeah.
Yep. And from there, I stuck with him for 12 years. I took lessons and started playing with bands when I was 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And Eddie actually had an accordion symphony. They did competitions. It was starting to die out then, when I was getting into it. But I played bass accordion for a couple of years with his accordion band. And then he tried to get me into classical music.
Yeah.
And I remember one very hot August day in that studio, I was trying to labor through Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, not doing too well.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I says, Eddie, I think it's time we parted ways. I says, this isn't for me. I says, my goal was a polka band. I'm there. I'm playing polkas. We're doing some pop music. And he goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, I don't think classics are for you. And, I stopped the lessons then, but I've been playing nonstop since I was like 5-6 years old.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
So what was that first 12-bass accordion anyway?
I don't even remember the brand of it. I just remember it might have been a Hohner. I just don't remember. But after taking lessons on that 12 bass for a couple of years, Eddie, my teacher, says, I think it's time to upgrade. So then I got a small Excelsior.
Yeah.
Played that for probably 10 years. And then finally, when I was 16 or 17, I got a full-size Excelsior.
Yeah.
And I played that thing. I still have it. I use it as a spare for about 30 years, 35 years. And then that thing started to get a little beat up, and that's when I bought my Roland. It's a digital.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the Excelsior in the pictures.
Yeah.
So it's like a V accordion. Was that the
FR6
or something?
FR7. Yep, no reeds in it. It's all digital samples.
Yeah.
And
cool. So when was the first time you played live? You started at 5.
Live in front of an audience, a real audience?
Yeah.
I think I was 15 or 14 years old. Somebody called up my teacher, and they needed an accordion player for a Festival of Nations. So they hooked me up with this woman who wanted to hire me.
Yeah.
And it was to represent Scandinavia. So she gave me this piece of music. I studied the hell out of it. And the function was at RPI Fieldhouse. And I remember walking into that place. I mean, I don't know if you've been into the hockey rink. I think that's where it was.
Yeah.
You know, no ice there, but the place was packed. And we had to march in with the rest of the nations, and I had to play this Scandinavian tune. Scared the hell out of me. But that was my first public job.
Oh, all right. And you took it like a champ?
Yeah, it went well. It went well. I think I made $20 for the gig. I was happy. She was happy. So.
Sweet. It's better than I did. My first gig, I think I got $8.
Wow.
I wasn't playing the accordion, though. But that was like a one-off gig. Like,
yeah.
What was the first band you were with?
It's another interesting story. You heard Tony, right? Tony's polka band. His grandmother, her name was Betty Banowitz. She lived in a farm.
Yeah.
And she would get kids together and have them come over to the house and play Polish music.
Yeah.
She played accordion and she played trumpet. She was like in her 60s back then. And we would play nursing homes and church festivals. And that's the first band I played in. It was with Tony's grandmother. Tony's father played drums. And his Aunt Mary played clarinet.
Oh, so it was his aunt who was Mary's polka.
Right, but the grandmother actually ran the band. But they named it after her daughter, Mary. Yep.
Okay, that makes sense. I was always wondering that. Cool. Have you played with anybody that you were excited to meet? To play with?
At the Amsterdam Polka Festival, I was playing with the Checkmates.
Yeah.
And I was watching Happy Louie play. And he looked down and he goes, "You got your accordion?" I said, "Yeah, it's in the car." He goes, "Go get it." And I sat in for a couple of numbers, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. And you've recorded with the Rimanowski brothers. You record anything else before that?
Oh, yeah. I did a 45 with the Polka Rascals. Then we did an album. We recorded that down in Ellenville.
Yeah. What label was that on?
It was, I think, LPR. John Sagan, the leader of the band, he created his own label.
All right.
Recorded with Rudy Felchek with the Checkmates. That was recorded on the Le Mans label. That was a big polka label back in the 70s and 80s. I don't know if you heard of Bernie Goidish. He just died. Passed away. Had a studio in Somerville, New Jersey. And we did the album there. Let's see, who the heck else did I record with?
At this point, Jerry's wife came in, and I want to take advantage of this interruption to play a little sample of their song Wishing Well Waltz, which was recorded in 1974, and then they re-released it and spruced it up a little on their It's About Time CD in 2010. It includes vocals from Uncle Al, one of the original Rimanowski brothers, and they added in some vocals by Jerry Rimanowski later on, his nephew. So enjoy just a little sample of this very unusual song.
I was watching the videos of you play.
Yeah.
And, like, that bellows shake you do looks really fierce.
Yeah. I don't have to really play that hard, but...
Like, you're not a small guy, and it looks like you're putting everything into it.
Yeah, but with the bellows shake, once you start doing it, basically takes off on its own and goes by itself.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. I mean, do you have any, like, for some of our newer guys, like, any tips on, like, how to not hurt yourself?
Let the amplifier do the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you could kill yourself if you shake too hard. I try not to, with the Roland, work too hard with it, because you don't have to.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Can you adjust the...
Oh, yeah. The volume.
And then the way the bellows work,
right?
Too, right?
Yeah.
So that makes it easier with that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot easier.
All right. You know anything about Excelsior accordions that a person might not find?
I know that years ago they were all handmade in Italy, and I think they were assembled here. But now the parts are coming from all over, I think.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they used to be one of the top accordions around.
Right.
I don't want to knock Excelsior, but I don't think they're what they used to be anymore.
Right. They used to be pretty prestigious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That, in fact, the teacher that I had in Schenectady when I took lessons for 12 years, he was an authorized dealer. That's all he would deal with.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even work on another accordion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Tony, I think, was playing one too.
So. Yeah, he took lessons where I did. So if you took lessons there, you ended up with an Excelsior. I don't know if he was getting kickbacks from the company, but that was his brand. He swore by
it. Yeah, it's the same thing. The American Accordionist Association, they all play Titano.
See, yeah, there you go.
Do you have any tips for how to find a teacher or how to...
I really don't know of any teachers around here.
Yeah.
I know where I bought my Roland. There may be teachers in Springfield. Got it from Falsetti Music.
That's in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look them up.
And I think he may have a few teachers. Other than that, I have no idea.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to see in the accordion world or in the polka world?
I hate to see it die out. It seems like it is, you know, especially around here.
Yeah.
If you go out to Massachusetts or you see the festivals in Pennsylvania or out west, seems like there's a lot more younger people.
Yeah.
When you look at those videos that they show on cable,
yeah.
If it was taped here, you see a bunch of white heads bopping around.
Yeah.
And then it's sad to say, but you point and say, that one's gone, that one's gone. They're all dying off. And there's not any younger people doing it, which is a shame.
So you think there should be more of a new generation?
Yeah, be nice. Yeah.
Huh. You now the Rimanowski brothers, which speaking of keeping alive for a long time, how far did you say they go?
They'll travel about 2-3 hours. We had a big road trip last year. We went out to Rhode Island, and that was a 3-hour drive.
Yeah,
there's a soccer club out there that runs dances, and a lot of the more popular bands have been playing there. So we says they offered us the job, and we said we better take it.
That's a pretty good ride.
And it wasn't a bad ride. You know, 3 hours isn't too bad. But those 8-hour drives, we won't do them. Nah.
Yeah. Nah. No more of that.
No. Nah, when you
did you do any of that stuff when you guys were younger?
Oh, with the Rascals. I used to do that. I remember one night we played in Syracuse and we packed up and we went to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And got into Baltimore like 6 a.m., grabbed a few hours sleep in one motel room, you know.
How many of you were there?
5 with the band, and I think a couple of the girlfriends were with us. So it's
7 people in a motel room.
And then, you know, you really can't sleep, and then you got to play a 4-hour job.
Yeah, so. That's crazy.
And then going from Baltimore back to Albany. Yeah. And I actually went to work that morning. I think I got home 6 a.m.
You have any mishaps along the way?
Nah. Not really.
So the whole career of like being a musician and things pretty much went smoothly?
Yeah, pretty much. Gosh, pretty much.
I wish I could think of the right question to ask for how you did it.
No, I was pretty lucky. Equipment really didn't fail. Never missed a job. Never got not able to get to a job.
Yeah.
So. Pretty lucky.
Nobody, so that's not as much a problem with polka bands that people getting too wasted before the show?
No.
Yeah.
So, we have a few beers, but, it's...
So that's interesting, because a lot of live musicians are kind of known for not knowing when to say when. And here you have a genre that's known for beer.
Yeah, we just have a couple and...
I guess that's you got to drink like a professional, too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. Who else do you think I should interview?
Around here, I guess it's Tony.
I mean, I go like the whole Northeast, pretty much.
I know Jackie Gabriluk will talk your ear off.
Jackie...
Gabriluk.
Gabriluk.
Yeah, he's in Amsterdam.
I'm no good with my Polish spellings, you know.
I think it's GABRYLUK.
Okay.
And he's in Amsterdam, but like I said, he played in every band before I joined.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. The New Yorkers he played with. He was with Don Nikolsky for years.
Yeah.
And he's like a walking encyclopedia with records, who wrote a song, who recorded it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Tell you what label it's on.
Huh.
Yeah. He's a real font of information. Yes, are you familiar with any of the polka shows that are on the internet now? There's Polka Jammer.
No, I haven't found them. Like, but yeah, I don't know where to tune in for
them. They're on 24/7. Polka Jammer network.org, I think it is. But just if you Google Polka Jammer.
Yeah.
And you get on their website and there's a listen live link. Uh-huh. And there's archived shows, and then there's, I know Jerry Romanowski does one every Friday, 6 to 8.
Huh. I'll have to talk. Maybe they can.
Yeah, it's fun. They, you know, they do the live show, and then there's a chat room where you can go in and, you know, chat with them.
At this point, I'd like to take another little break to play The Drunkard's Lament Polka by the Rymanowski Brothers Orchestra. It's a classic from the 1950s, and it's on the It's About Time album, I believe re-recorded there. I also wanted to speak for a moment about how everybody parties in this part of Europe. I'm so impressed by just how together they have it. As I don't know, I would have to go see it for myself. But as an American, I feel like we have so much to learn from that. One thing I read about was that there is a, well, you know, it's a long name in German. I don't even know how to say it, so. But they have a station, basically, an organization at Oktoberfest every year. And it offers multilingual assistance for women who have been sexually harassed or feel otherwise unsafe. It's like everything is thought about as to make the party go as good as possibly can. Small children are not allowed in the tents after a certain time. Before a certain time, the music is kept down to a certain level so that the party doesn't get too wild and out of hand. And there's just this a very responsible way that it's handled that makes the festival such a unique thing, that makes the German and the Polish cultures seem like they could teach Americans a thing or two about how to party and not get yourself killed. So, with that being said, let's go back to the Drunkard's Lament Polka.
Kieliszek to mi blanciszek, a flaszeczka moja siostra. Prośka to mi psija, ciuka pod buzi mi przyniosła. Prośka to mi psija, ciuka pod buzi mi przyniosła. A gdy ja w świat pojadę, dobieg pan na czarle mośle. Kom je na wystawie, jak tu postyry, toż mocny pośle. To mnie nawet stary, jak u postyry, tuż mocny pośle. Boli, boli, głowa.
What styles does Rymanowski Brothers play?
It's kind of a cross between Eastern and a push style.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it honky.
Yeah.
There's a couple of tunes we do that's definitely a honky style where there's no bellow shaking.
Right.
And the drum is more of a street beat, they call it. You know, where the drum fills in a lot more than Eastern style is basically your boom chick, boom chick, boom chick, boom. It's really straight and regimented.
Yeah.
Where honky style is just everybody doing their own thing.
Yeah.
It's, somebody once called it Polish jazz.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you're ad-libbing everything. Yeah. You don't play the same song played the song the same way twice. Yeah. And every time you do it, it's different. In fact, we do an Oktoberfest in North Bennington. North Bennington, the Lions Club runs it.
Yeah.
And I think we do that like the second week in October. I think the second or third Sunday. That's a good Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I was. Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about Oktoberfest. Are you doing any this year?
For the last couple of years, we've been doing one at Uncle Marty's Adirondack Grill. It's in Averill Park.
Okay.
Near West Sand Lake. I don't know if we got that this year, or even if he's going to hold it, because usually that's around the end of September, and we're getting close, and I don't see the date on our calendar, so he might not be doing it, or he might have hired somebody else. Who knows? Can't hire the same band every year.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, come on.
Oh, well.
You got to give people some consistency. You got to tell them that, you know?
Yeah.
Come on. We're a thing.
Yeah.
You know? But, have you done any tourism? Like, have you been to a Oktoberfest in Germany?
No. Just a few of the, you know, festivals here, Hunter Mountain, that's about it.
Have you ever go anywhere in Europe? Like,
no, I want to go. You know, my father was born in Poland, so me and my wife were, it's on our bucket list. Maybe when I retire, when we retire, we'll go.
Yeah. You speak Polish?
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool. You learned it from your parents?
Growing up and a lot through the music, through polka music.
Yeah.
You know, I'd order, there was a guy out in Massachusetts. As soon as an album came out, he would write it.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd transpose it onto paper, and the vocals would be written in Polish. So then just looking at the words and hearing it, you know, then you associate, wow, that's how that's spelled, and that's how it sounds. And
yeah. Huh. You learn any slang?
Oh, I know the swear word. It's, you know, what you always learn first.
Of course.
You know, swear words.
Yeah, I learned a half dozen Polish swear words from a guy I worked with, and it turned out I don't think any of them were real.
Really? What did he teach you?
Oh, I don't know. I remember, I think the one that was real was like dupayash.
Yeah, it's jackass.
Yeah.
There's some
shock. I said that to one guy, though, and he was like, who's Josh? Yeah. What was the other one?
Shakref.
Shakref?
That's a really bad one, I suppose. But literally, it translates to dog's blood.
Dog's blood?
Yep.
Really?
And I don't know what's so bad about dog's blood, but...
I don't know. It's weird. Like, have you ever heard of Slovenian curse words?
No, not really.
The Slovenian language doesn't really have any. The only two that they have that are kind of bad, and even in Slovenian, they're not really bad. I don't remember what they are, but one of them, it means 300 hairy bears.
Yeah, see, literally translate it. In fact, the word in Polish for hell is cholera.
Cholera.
And it's spelled C-H-O-L-E-R-A, which is cholera.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it originated from, the disease.
Well, that's a pretty ugly disease.
If you have cholera, you're going through hell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that covers the crap part of it, too. Yeah. Oh, the other one is maybe kicked by a chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I hope none of you are kicked by chickens. That was Jerry Romanowicz. I'm Elwood Bergman. This wraps up our first show. If you want to know more about anything mentioned in this show, we'll have links to everything in our show notes at accordionlinepodcast.com. That's accordionlinepodcast.com. And if you liked what you heard, please leave us a review on Stitcher or iTunes. As you know, those reviews can make or break a podcast. Until the next time, we're going to leave you with the Saxo Polka. Go out there and shine, shake, and laugh.